for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday evening, December the 31st, 1989. Watch night service, final service of the midwinter family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Linda Sutter is the speaker of the evening, and Glenn Miller, I conclude with a communion service.
Linda Sutter is going to come and teach us for a little while, and then we will praise the Lord again with some song for a little bit, and then I'll read some scripture and all, and then we'll go to prayer and have communion. And we see this year out and the new year come in, bringing with it all the possibilities of the kingdom. Come, Miss Sutter.
Well, I love it when we get to a New Year's Eve service. I like New Year's Eve services. Let's turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. You know, I am really appreciative of the ministry here, of Lake Hamilton. I haven't quite been able to figure out why it took 15 years about for me to find out about Lake Hamilton. Somebody gave me a tape one time, and it said, you know, Voices from His Excellent Glory, and it took several more years before I finally got acquainted, and God gave me a whole new family. Praise the Lord. And I love Glenn and Irma. They're the age my parents would be. And so I've just taken both of them as Mom and Dad, I really have. And all of the rest of you that I've gotten to know here in the last 3 years, I really appreciate each one of you. And Jean and Erlene, you've become very precious to me, too, and I just have taken you as a brother and sister. And Kevin and Patty, I really shouldn't even start naming names, because each one of you, you know, you become more dear every camp meeting. Praise the Lord. But tonight I want to share just for a few minutes, not very long at all, out of Isaiah 6, we had started reading in morning devotions here during the month of November in Isaiah, and each time we would read one of the chapters, it seemed like the Lord would quicken something to me, and I haven't had time. I thought I'd have all kinds of time while I was here, but somehow I find I keep busy doing nothing, and I wanted to have time to sit down, and for at least 2.5 weeks I was wanting to get the commentaries out and read about King Uzziah. The morning we read chapter 6, something just began to be quickened in my spirit, and I still haven't really had a chance to do it, but we're going to read there tonight. Before we do, let's just pray together. Father, we pray that the word of God would be quickened to our hearts 100-fold tonight. We pray, Heavenly Father, that it will take root, that it will grow, and that each one of us would be enhanced by the Word of God growing within us. And that, Father, each one of us, through the remainder of the service and our time of communion and fellowship tonight, that when we leave, we'll be different than when we came in. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's start reading at verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, meaning with 2 of them he covered his face. And with two he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. You know, I felt like I needed to find out a little bit about King Uzziah, because I thought it was significant that in the year that he died was the year that Isaiah had a vision. And so the little bit that I was able to find out in just a few minutes of research is that Uzziah was a king in Judah for 52 years. I think maybe the longest reigning king in Judah. And during the time that he reigned, he was a very successful, if you can put it that way, king. The people, for the most part, liked him. He developed their agricultural system. They had a very good agricultural system. He had very skilled armies. And in particular, they were very successful in their warring against the Philistines. And there's a whole study you can do just on the Philistines. Philistines were always the enemy of God's people all through Israel's history. And the Philistines really is a type of the flesh, which I think is interesting, because all of these different nations that they fought against all represent, something of the carnal nature. But the word Philistine means literally to roll in the dust. And like I said, there's a whole lot we could get into just on that, but King Uzziah was very successful in warring, having his armies warred against the Philistines and kept them down during his reign. Not only that, it was also a time of material prosperity. Things went well during the 52 years that he reigned, and he started reigning when he was 16 years old. So he was about 68 years old when he was no longer king. But in the end of his life, something happened to Uzziah. And the scripture tells us, not here in Isaiah, but I believe it's over in 2 Chronicles, that his heart got exalted. And he began to have a lot of pride. And he thought he could do something that he was not qualified to do. He had done very well as king, but he thought he could fulfill the office of the priest. And he went right into the place where he wasn't supposed to go. And it took, I think, about 80-some priests to go in and withstand him, to bring him out of that place where he was, where he had no business being. He was trying to fill a role that wasn't his, because he had been so successful in every other area of his life and his reign. And so the people that lived under his leadership for 52 years, you can imagine how it became. You know, when things are going good in our nation, we tend to just kind of coast along, don't we? We don't want for anything. We're not too worried about anything. We've got good homes to live in. We've got food on the table. We have good jobs. Things are going along smoothly. There's no shakings going on. And that is the way it was during that time. But then the time came when that came to an end. And it was at that time when there was probably a lot of turmoil in the hearts of God's people and wondering what was going to happen next, all of this turmoil, that Isaiah had a vision. In the year that King Uzziah died, he saw the Lord. Now, if you notice, when we look in the scripture, and even as we look in our nation, and things that we've heard preached here this week, we see a very close tie between things that happen politically and things that happen spiritually. If you remember Brother Ray McCullough's sermon the other night, when he was talking about Jezebel and Ahab, and he talked, about how Jezebel withstood Elijah, and how it was, or tried to, and how that it was Herodias. And these were the political systems that came against John the Baptist. And so we see, and it was a political situation that caused the events to come about so that Mary and Joseph went to Bethlehem when they did. It was a political structure that set that up. And I think it's good for us to remember that because it's God who brings these things about. It's not happenstance. In fact, at one point in Scripture, remember, when someone said to Jesus, I have all this authority, and Jesus says, you don't have any authority except to be given you by God. And so all of these governments that are operating today, our own government as well as every other government, they may think they're doing it on their own merits, but God has permitted them to operate in the capacity they operate in. And so this was a situation at the time that Isaiah saw the Lord. His Uzziah, where his confidence perhaps had been, I don't know this for a fact, but I think there's maybe an element of truth in it, that his confidence may have been in the situation that been before him, and then wham, all at once, the whole structure changes. And it's a time of change. Now, we have heard prophecy here all this week. I heard it the last camp meeting I was in. I've read it in the newspaper, in the camp newspaper that is sent out. What is the word that we have heard coming forth time after time? That we cannot go on expecting things to stay as they have been, but that it is a time of change. Haven't we heard that? It is a time of change. And if this is a time of change, and it is, I believe this is a time that God is going to reveal himself to us in a way that we have never known him before, if we will call on him and seek his face right now. Maybe we haven't gotten quite upset enough yet to really seek him the way that we should. But when all of this happened and Isaiah saw the Lord, He saw the seraphims, he saw these angelic messengers, and they were crying to one another, holy, holy, holy. And I want to say something about that. If you have a visitation of God in your life, one of the things that will underlie it or overshadow it or however you want to put it, one of the things you're going to be aware of is the holiness of God. I don't care what kind of visitation it is, but that is going to come through somehow. You know, there are false visions. There are false visitations. And I don't believe that a false visitation may bring with it good feelings and sensations, but it's not going to put our attention on the Lordship of Christ and the holiness of God. And so just because something makes you feel good doesn't mean it's right. And so the seraphim were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then after this happened, what did Isaiah say? He said, woe is me, for I am undone because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. When we have a visitation of the Lord in his holiness, I think that is the second thing that is going to happen. We are going to see how far short we are of his standard. And he was taken up with that, how he was unclean. And as he was dwelling on it, he said, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. You know, I remember one time years ago, I was just really a young person yet, and I had gone to visit a friend of mine, a lady who's been a prayer intercessor, really it's been my spiritual mother through the years. And we were just going to have a time of prayer together. And I've gone to her house. I've known her since I was 18 years old. And lives back in my home community. And so every time I go to her house, we have a time of prayer together. Maybe sometimes it's just at the table when we've had a cup of coffee together or something like that. But that's always been one of the things that happen when we get together. We have a time of prayer before I leave, so this wasn't anything unusual that day. Except we went in the living rooms, knelt down at the couch, was going to pray, and I just began speaking in tongues. And something happened that had never happened to me before and has never happened to me since. The Lord came down. And I had a vision of the Lord in His holiness and His glory, like, and you know, I've asked the Lord to give it to me again over the years, and it's never been quite the way it was that time. And it's something I don't talk about very often, but I can understand a little bit how Isaiah felt. Because during that time of visitation, and you know, this lady had the good sense to know that I was just having a meeting with God, and she went out in the other room and just left me alone for the next 45 minutes. And she just went along doing her job. I think she was baking cookies in the kitchen. Or I was in there having a meeting with God like I'd never had before, and she was just baking cookies and said, just praying under her breath and thanking God for what He was doing. And I know that when I got up from that place, things were different than when we had got on our knees together. And you know, when you're in a situation like that, you know, you never want to sin again. You see the Lord and something happens and you think, how could I have done this? Or how could I have thought this way? How could I have been this way? When God, You're so absolutely marvelous. And so that was, I can see, the cry of Isaiah's heart at that time. He says, I'm a man undone of unclean lips. And sovereignly, something happened to him by the Spirit of God. One of the seraphims flew unto him, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it, he said, Isaiah did, upon his mouth. And said, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Hallelujah. Now you'll see that expression every now and then in the Old Testament. Thine iniquity is taken away. And we see it at a time when there is a In several cases, and I'll refer to one other one, where there is a sovereign work of God. I read a scripture just maybe a week ago or 2 weeks ago over in Zechariah, where Joshua the high priest was standing before the Lord. And as he was standing before the Lord, he was clothed in filthy garments. And the word of the Lord came the word was, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. Now we see in one case where God changes a high priest's clothing, gives him new clothes to put on. And this man was a high priest who had that function of going in to minister before the Lord. That tells me that you and I, at times, maybe more times than we care to admit, have needed a change of garment. And God sovereignly, as He sovereignly did it here, He'll sovereignly do it for you and me. And take away our iniquity from us. And as he did with Isaiah, He did a cleansing in his mouth. Or in his tongue, he cleansed his speech. God changes our raiment, and raiment in the scripture, and a change of raiment like we were just talking about there in Zechariah, means a putting away of sin and a putting on of his nature. And I believe that as we look at it here in Isaiah, where his iniquity had been taken away and his sin had been purged, that there was a work of the Spirit did where he was changed, where he would never be the same again. As long as he continued in that which God was doing in him. And so this cleansing went on. His iniquity was taken away. His sin was purged. We talked recently about how God purges silver. I'm waiting for Tom to give me all the steps on the purification of gold and silver, because I think there's going to be a sermon in that, Tom. And we'll refer to that portion of scripture again. But after Isaiah had had this visitation, there comes a calling to him. For the Lord is speaking, and let's read it. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? After Isaiah had had this visitation, had this divine encounter with God, this vision, this cleansing, this purification, he said, here am I, send me. Now I think, personally, that this is a good thought to end an old year with and to go into a new year with. That God has been doing, if we have allowed him to, a cleansing in our life and a purifying in our life. And as we allow him to continue to work within us, I believe our senses and our spiritual senses are going to be open to begin to hear his voice in a new capacity, to hear his voice, to know what his will is for the decade that we're going into. Amen? I think we're going to be at that place. I'm trusting that I'm going to be at that place. Now, you know, I shared this with the home folk here, but there's a lot of people here tonight who are from other places, so the rest of you can just hear it again. But when Erlene and Kay and I had gone to Europe, the first night that we were in Luxembourg, I was quite concerned because I didn't feel I had a word of the Lord. I felt like, man, if we're going on a trip like this, I feel like I need to have something to share with the people of God in the places that we were going. And I mean, when I left, I had zero. I had nothing. And every time I'd try to think about it or pray about it, just nothing was coming through. And finally, when we got to Luxembourg, the first place that we stopped on the trip, and we went to bed for the night, and in the middle of the night, the Spirit of God began dealing with me and speaking to me, and he began giving me a vision, and I don't want to go into all of that tonight, but in the midst of the thing that he was showing me, and it was really a thing that was a global vision. And the thought that was coming through in all of this is that things are a lot further along than some of us have realized. The plan and purposes of God are much further advanced than we have realized, because some of us get so involved in our own little churches and our own situations, we don't realize what is going on in a global sense. But I want to tell you something. Things are going on as God is working in us here. He's working in people on the other side of the globe. Just like Kay was saying earlier. The same God that we serve, they serve in these other countries. If he can reveal himself to us here, he's more than capable of revealing himself to them in these other, what we consider, far removed places. And so this time that I sensed that the Lord was dealing with me and speaking to me, I began to, in the Spirit, see these things that were going on all over the world. And you know how it is in a vision. You can't explain it. I mean, how can you even explain about the seraphim? But somehow I could see all of this coming together, and God's church, his city, I saw his city coming down to this earth realm. That's all I can say about it. And I knew that we are right on the brink of it. And at the same time, the scripture was quickened to my heart in Malachi about who is going to abide the day of his coming and who shall stand when he appears. For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver. Now, the sons of Levi were the priesthood. We're the priesthood of God tonight, aren't we? The scripture says we are a kingdom of priests. And so it is essential that his priesthood, it's essential that there is going to come this cleansing and purifying in our lives. It's essential. As it was for Isaiah to be prepared for that which God was going to do through him, the people that he was going to be going to. It was essential for him to have that experience. It's essential for you and me to have the same type of experience, the same type of dealing in our lives. And when we had talked about the purifying, we talked about how there is a difference between the purifying and the purging. Now, Tom explained all of this to me one Sunday morning, and I didn't write it down, but the purging is a more intense work that goes on in the purifying. Is that right, Tom? Okay. It's a more intense process than the first stages. And if you want to have pure gold, it's going to go through that. It has to go through that process. And silver. There is a scripture in Psalms, I believe it is chapter 12. It talks about the word of the Lord being pure words. And as silver is tried in the furnace of the earth 7 times. You ever thought that you might go through a purging 7 times? Man, I have a hard time when it's once. Let alone 2 or 3 or even 7 times. But we know 7 in the scripture is the number of perfection. And the purpose of all of that purging that is being done to the sons of Levi, the priesthood, you and me, is that we will offer, verse 4, chapter 3 of Malachi, then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old, and is as in the former years. That is the purpose of all of this, that our offering to the Lord will be pleasant and will be acceptable. I am really looking forward to 1990. I am looking forward to what God is going to do. I don't know how much time there is left. I don't think there's very much time left. And, you know, if the word of the Lord is true, and I believe it is, there's not much time left. But, you know, I think the question we have to ask ourselves tonight is do we have any Uzziahs in our life? Has our concentration and has our trust been in anything less than God? Have we been trusting in the money we make? Have we been trusting in all of the material possessions we have? Have we been trusting in our own natural abilities? I mean, we can make a list of all the things that we put our confidence in. And I would have to say there comes a day when all of those things have to die. And that is the admonition that I want to give to myself and that I want to give to you tonight, is that we've got to let our Uzziahs die before we see the Lord in the way that He wants to reveal Himself to us. And so, Lord, I pray that tonight for us, that anything that may be standing in the way, anything that we may have put our confidence in that is less than Yourself, we repent of that right now. Cleanse us, Lord, and purify us. Lord, we ask for Your process, Your purifying process, to continue in each one of our hearts right now. Father, we don't want to settle for anything less than Your best. So cause our vision, Lord, tonight. I pray it sincerely, Lord. Cause our vision to be on You and not on anything else. In Jesus' name, amen.
We are about to enter in. We are about to enter in into a new decade that will bring a change in the world that the world has never experienced, and we are privileged to be living in this hour that the prophets of old have looked forward to, and we have the privilege of being here to see these things happen. Tomorrow, the new currency of Europe will begin to be distributed. 2 years from tomorrow, the United States of Europe will become a reality. And we live to see the day when all of this is taking place. We live in an awesome time, yet a glorious time. We live in a time of fear, yet we live in a time of rejoicing. We live in a time of procrastination, and yet we live in a time of regeneration. And which side of it are you on? Which side of it will I be on in these next 6, 8, or 10 years that lie ahead of us. The time is short, but we really don't believe that. But it is. They expect to inaugurate before 1992 comes around. They expect to inaugurate a man to be president of the United States of Europe. As of today, the man that is expected to hold that place, his name is Otto von Habsburg. That's the man's name that they expect to be appointed president of the United States of Europe. This man has in his private possession and his private museum, which is open to the public, what he claims is the chalice that Jesus drank out of at the Last Supper. Now, I do not believe that, because if somebody, the ministers that have all been to our house this week have drank out of many chalices. And to go back and tell you which one Chuck Flynn drank out of or one of the other fellows would be an impossibility. So I do not believe that. He also has in his possession a sword, which he contends was used to pierce Jesus' side. Neither do I believe that. But he contends that it is. This is the man that is expected to be the president of the United States of Europe. But the most important thing about this man is the fact that he claims he's a direct descendant of all the kings and queens of France, Spain, and Belgium. And he contends that he and his son are the last living descendants of these dynasties. His son's name is Carl. He's 32 years of age. They contend that they are the last living in this dynasty of kings and queens that ruled France and Belgium and Spain. But the awesome part of it all is that he contends that he is a direct descendant of Mary Magdalene and Jesus, and that he can trace his descendancy back to the children who Mary Magdalene gave birth by that were fathered by Jesus. So what do we have? We have blasphemy, an antichrist who is expected to be the person who sits on the throne, so to speak, and be the head man of the United States of Europe in 1992. I say all that to say that we live in an hour and a day that is an awesome time, yet it is the most glorious hour that the world has ever seen. For we are nearing the time of the kingdom when Jesus shall be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and the kingdoms of this earth shall become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ. Exodus chapter 12, And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months, it shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man, according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year you shall take it out of the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the house wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head and his legs, with the prudence thereof, and you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. Now, we have been taught, and we've been said, that they ate everything of it, but they didn't eat it all. They ate that which was edible, and the rest, it tells us right here what they done with it. And that which remaineth of it until the morning, you shall burn with fire. And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night,
and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Hallelujah. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. Bless the Lord. When I smite the land of Egypt, and this day shall be unto you a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 14, and Isaiah 53. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouth at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor any comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and sicknesses, carried our sorrows and pain. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities and lawlessness. The chastisement of my peace and soundness was upon him. And with his stripes, I am healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked, with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand, and he shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. For he shall bear my iniquities and lawlessness. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors, of which I and you are. And Jesus is his name. John chapter 19. John 19, verse 28. We will not read each verse, so watch with me. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, and that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Then came the soldiers, and brake the legs of the first, and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, and saw that he was already dead, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers, with a spear, pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And we had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, "This cup is the new testament in my blood, the new covenant. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." So this evening, let us examine our hearts, that we have a holy, clean conscience before the Lord. And we read in Isaiah, and we read in John, the fulfillment of the atonement for our sins. Jesus became the fulfillment of that lamb that was the Passover lamb for the children of Israel and Egypt, when the blood was applied to the doorpost. And today, we apply the blood of the Lord Jesus to our hearts for cleansing and washing, that we can be a holy and righteous people, walking before the Lord in His righteousness, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, washed in Calvary's flow, that as we make Jesus Lord of our lives. So this evening, let us examine ourselves, that we be not one who brings condemnation upon us when we partake of the supper and the bread and the wine. And as we accept it, we renew our relationship with Jesus and make Him again Lord of every area of our lives. Phil, will you go over there and bring it over, please? Chris, Jay. In Luke 22, verse 14, "And when the hour was come, He sat down, and the 12 apostles with Him. And He said unto them, With desire I desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you that I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And He took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. And I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And He took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise also they took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." Go ahead and pass the bread and the grape juice, and then we will all partake together. Just pass it down. That's fine. Father, I thank you for your divine presence amongst us this evening. Thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of the living God flow and move in our midst. Thank you, Lord, to give us discernment of the hour and the times we live in. Put a hunger in our hearts to walk before Thee, to serve Thee, and to make Thee Lord of our lives, that all that we do shall be unto Thy kingdom. Father, that we determine that is the most important thing, that in this hour that we make the kingdom of the living God our determination, and that we do all that we can, Father, that we can lay our hand to glorify and uplift you, that the kingdom of the living God shall live in and reign in our hearts, that it may be reign in the hearts and lives of your people. Father, I thank you for it tonight. I thank you for the Holy Ghost moving over us, convicting us, Lord, of the areas of our lives that are contrary to your word. Convict us, Lord, and show us and help us to be willing to turn from these ways and then to walk after the ways of the Lord. Help us, Lord, in our thought life. Help us, Lord, in our walk and in our work. Help us, Lord, in our attitudes. Help us, Lord, in all these areas of our life. And we will be a people holy, consecrated, and set apart for Thy kingdom and for Thy glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't mean for you to stop serving, fellas. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Holy is the Lord, merciful and gracious. We thank you, Father, for your mercy, and I thank you for your grace. I thank you, Lord, for it. I praise you, Lord. Without thy grace and mercy, Lord, we would all have been stoned. And for thy grace and thy mercy, Lord, we sit here to praise and worship you this night. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your broken body. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the scars and stripes of the whipping post. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. We bless your name. I bless your name. I praise you, Father. I thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thou art worthy, Lord. Holy, holy is the Lord. High and lifted up, and his train fills the temple. Lord, help your train and your holiness to fill our temples. Help us, Lord, to be as you, Isaiah that saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Lord, fill our temples. Thank you for it, Jesus. Represents the broken body of the Lord Jesus, cup of his suffering. And he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And Father, tonight we take this little piece of cracker as represents your broken body. And we take it. And as we do, we thank you that your body was broken for the healing and the restoration of our physical bodies. And we thank you for it. Amen. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Likewise, also this cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament, the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for remission of my sins. And Father, with that, we take this, which represents the shed blood of the Lord Jesus, for the remission and cleansing of me and my sins. And I praise you and I thank you for it, and we'll do so throughout eternity. Amen, amen. Praise you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Let's stand and pray the blessings of the Lord for your family and for the nation and for the body of Christ. Father, I lift up our families today. Thank you, Jesus, for your Holy Spirit to flow and move out in their behalf. Wherever across the nations of the earth they may be tonight, we extend the mercy and grace of the living God and the convicting power of the Holy Ghost to search them out and to find them and to cause them to be convicted of the errors of their ways. Turn their hearts and lives unto Thee. I thank You for it, Father. Father, we lift up the body of Christ across the nation and around the world, in the far reaches of the universe. Father, I thank You for Your anointing and Your Spirit that rests with them, and the angels of the Lord that are watching over those that are in prison for the gospel's sake, those that are suffering for Your name's sake. We speak a word of encouragement unto them. We send the word of the living God unto them tonight and send restoration and release unto their spirit and their soul and into their body. Then, Father, we lift up our nation before you and those in charge over this nation. Ask for guidance and direction and wisdom and for mercy. Oh, God, we ask for your mercy for this nation. We ask for your mercy and your grace, Lord, for we're an abominable people in your sight, and we're not worthy of grace. But Father, we thank you that you've extended it unto us, and I praise you for it. Father, I thank you for the convicting power of the Holy Ghost to sweep across this nation with a mighty power of conviction will cause men to call on the name of the Lord, that there shall be a great stirring amongst the nation, and men shall be revived and turned to declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. I thank you for it, Father, and I praise you for hearing our petitions, for we ask them in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Unto him be glory and praise and dominion, power and authority forever and ever, without end. Amen and amen.
He is Lord. He is Lord.
Hallelujah.
He has risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every knee.
Say with me, I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that I am the temple of the Holy Ghost, and it is my responsibility to keep this temple holy for the Lord Jesus. Now, in obedience and humiliation, let's just bend our knee and before the Lord for a half a second. Lord, we bend our knee and confess that you are Lord. Thou art Lord alone, and there's none other. We bend our knee before thee, and we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We thank you and we give you praise and worship unto thee, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
Father, I stand as a priest over this place and this congregation tonight, in the authority that's invested in me, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Take dominion and authority over every spirit and over of each person present, and I bind them to the kingdom of the living God, that not a one shall be lost. I take that authority and I bind them in Jesus' name, that not one shall be lost in that day. And in the name of Jesus, I decree that the Spirit of the living God shall flow and move in the hearts and lives. I bind the powers of Satan that would hinder. I break your assignment and take your rights. I loose them from the power of Satan. Bind them to the kingdom by the blood of the Lamb. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We have all entered into a new decade, a decade which we will see many trials and temptations and many heartaches. But God, through Jesus Christ, is victor. And he's looking for overcomers. And we will be overcomers. We will not be one who turns back, or who, where the sword or the bow turns back. But we will be a battle axe sharpened by the word and shall walk forth bringing victory for the king and the kingdom. Amen. The Lord bless you. May his blessings be yours as Linda comes and sings another one more. I'm always ready for one more. She knows that.
Song of victory. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Sing it again. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen.
The blessing of the Lord upon you. See you when you can come back again sometime. We hope soon. If not, rejoice in the Lord. Be a good warrior.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.